Man, that's just what I feel like. Woo! On the treadmill or on the horse or whatever. Hi there. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. That's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And it's been full speed ahead, Coach.
Hello, George.
Hello, George. The horse there?
Mr. Ed?
Ed. Ed. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yep. I'm good, Rick. Football season is underway. High school fall athletics overall is underway. The kids are back in school, and we're not with them.
And in a manner of speaking, that's in more ways than one. Well, we do have a lot of sports going on, and I would invite everyone to spread the word on MSO because we had our first video football preview show last week, you and Bill, and that was pretty interesting. Covered a lot of coaches, a lot of information, covered a lot of ground, interviewed kids and so on. I did my first video interview today with the kids. That'll be up later on this week. We're going to be talking with the Ipswich football coach, Kevin Fassett, his captains. We'll be talking hopefully with Gloucester football coach. And what we like to do on the video previews is to preview the upcoming broadcast games that we'll be doing. And plus, on this program, we'll look at some other stuff as well.
Yeah, the whole idea is to give a little bit more background on the coaches, the teams, what's making them click this year, what they're looking for. I mean, everybody has the same end result in mind. I'll still be conducting. We're going to be having Coach Morency on the video chat this week. Bill and I will be talking to him. Bill will be talking to him on Wednesday afternoon, and then I'll follow that up with Panther Preview, and that'll be a separate interview. So we'll cover a lot of ground between those two interviews. Probably also try to get a couple more kids from the Panthers to give them some exposure. I had a chance to talk to the three captains last week. If you checked out the videos, I had a chance to talk to Captain Nick Berry. Clark Marchand had a great game running the ball and also receiving. Got the big 74-yard touchdown pass. Nick Berry, for his first varsity start, had a game to remember. He was 15 of 26, 267 yards, a couple of TDs. But it wasn't enough, unfortunately, to overcome the Lynn Classical Rams, who were just literally had rockets on their feet. So,
all right.
But Beverly's got a big contest Friday night against Gloucester.
Yeah, Bill Newell and Paul Ingram will be doing that game, and you'll be at Peabody, I believe. With Danvers, we'll go over to play the Peabody Tanners. Peabody losing in a surprising way, I think. The fact that they didn't win is usually a surprise, and Danvers with an all-around solid win, so you guys will have a good game as well.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the local ex-coaches, and they were very surprised by how well Danvers responded to new coach, with a whole lot of new starters in the on the team, and how they just come out and played a very, very good game.
Well, as a matter of fact, we'll be talking to new coach Ryan Nolan tonight, as we did last week in our pregame videos. And Coach Nolan will be on, picking up his very first career win as head coach at Danvers High School. He'll be one of our guests tonight. Also talk with Salem's Matt Bouchard. Salem out of the gates real strong. Great to see that for Salem. We'll chat with Jeff Hutton, the Manchester Essex football coach, as the Green Hornets were also winners over the weekend. And good Lord, when on the crick don't rise, we'll talk with Gloucester Times sports reporter Nick Kukuru, Phil Stacey, the Salem News sports editor, and also to sports historian and golf writer Gary Larrabee. That's all tonight on North Shore Sports Night, and that's all within the next hour. As I said, good things happening if we can pull it off. All right, this fan here is for Coach, and it's interfering a little bit with my mic, but I think we'll be able to deal with it. We'll be right back. We'll take our first break of the night, come back with our first guest, so stay with us.
Appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan. Bourbon Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
All right, we're back with Phil Stacy, the Salem News sports editor. And, Phil, I was just mentioning, we played the music to the Lone Ranger to open up tonight. I feel like I'm going 100 miles an hour with the way this season is off and running here in high school sports.
I like that analogy. That works pretty well. A little high-ho Silva to start the season. And let's get going here. We've certainly gotten off to a bang, and it's been a great start so far. And, you know, hopefully the teams that have had success right off the bat continue to do so, and those that didn't get the desired result they want right out of the gate will see their fortunes change in the very near future.
Phil, before we go to football, I want to make note there was I don't know if it was a coach or a parent from Swampscott, maybe in the AD, but on it was either Friday or Saturday, all athletic teams that played, so it was probably Friday, five athletic teams that played all scored victories.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow, geez, that's great. I mean, you see that sometimes out of a Danvers or a Beverly, a Marblehead, a St. John's Prep, but for Swampscott, that's terrific that all five teams had wins right out of the gate like that. That speaks volumes about what they can expect athletically this fall, I think.
Yeah. What's the thing that catches your eye, Phil? I know you guys had in the preview on Friday so much stuff and during the preseason. A lot of shutouts on opening weekend again in football, but I don't know. What do you come away with? And we'll start with football this past weekend.
Well, I can tell you from what I saw, and Tim obviously was there as well, I thought Lynn English came out and played very, very well opening weekend. Surprising to me. I mean, I don't see Lynn as much as I do Beverly, but English looked very good, quick to the football defensively. They really got after it. I noticed a lot of maturity, and you can tell the poise that Matt Severance has now, a quarterback. He's got some really good receivers he can throw to in Prince Brown and Matthias Fowler, the freshman, who, you know, he may be undersized, but he looked like he had some great moves, can catch the ball, make something happen after the catch. They can rotate a few running backs in there. And I thought that, boy, they came out and looked confident right from the get-go and got up 21-0 on a team, I should say 20-0, excuse me, on a team that had won the North Championship last year. So they certainly didn't play with any fear, and I think it's a great win for English and Coach Chris Carroll to start the season off with to try to get the ball rolling a little bit. Elsewhere, you know, I thought that Hamilton-Wenham had a great win against Bishop Fenwick. I think those are two really good teams that are going to compete along with St. Mary's for that divisional crown in November and the right to try to go on to the Super Bowl. But, geez, Hamilton-Wenham, we know a lot about their offensive star power, between Billy Whalen, the quarterback, Cam Peach, Jake Lanciani, all the offensive weapons they have, but they really got after it defensively and shut down a pretty good Fenwick team, albeit one that did not have Corey Bright, their best player.
Well, can I interrupt here, Phil? They also lost one of their star other players too later in the game, and so yeah, Fenwick was playing a little shorthanded, but you are right.
They were, but I still think it's a good statement win for Hamilton-Wenham as they get into the Cape Ann part of their schedule. You know, they go up to North Reading this Friday night, a North Reading team that played Marblehead for the North title last year. So while they've graduated some bodies, most notably Matt McCarthy, they're certainly a team that is going to present a lot of problems for Hamilton-Wenham. So to go in there with one win under their belt already, I think is a good sign for Jimmy Pugh and his Generals.
Absolutely.
Phil, who had the most significant win to their program on Saturday?
I'd say there are a number of candidates. I mean,
just one.
English would be up there. I mean, Somerville, I don't think anybody saw them beating Peabody on Friday night. And while they may have been a slight favorite against a young Winthrop team, I think what Danvers was able to do was impressive, too, to come out and not only put up four touchdowns, but also pitch a shutout and come away with a 31-0 win with really a whole new cast of characters near the lineup. A lot of guys that saw spot duty here and there maybe last year, but haven't really had a chance to shine in a starring role, and those guys did very, very well. Those three right off the bat, I would say, I mean, you figured Gloucester would win. I'll tell you another team, actually, Salem.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Salem. What's the story on them?
Well, you know, I'll say this, and not just because I picked them in our football picks to win, but I felt as though Salem, you know, in talking to Matt Bouchard both during the summer and then during the preseason, I think he's excited about the group of kids he has in his team this year. Now, are they going to be at Gillette Stadium in December? You know, that's a long way off, and, you know, it's hard to say. But, you know, it's one of those you got to crawl before you can walk, you got to walk before you can run kind of things, and this team is now at the point where they've crawled, they've walked, and now they want to be able to run. The seniors on this team have now been in the program same amount of years as the head coach. They came in when, Matt Bouchard took over when they were freshmen. They've been with him for 4 years. They know his system. They know his expectations. They know what he's trying to do, not only on the football field, but outside of it. You know, I think for Matt, it's a real big thing to be a good member of your community and be a leader in the school and, you know, outside of the school, make the right choices and do the right thing. And these senior leaders are really picking up on that, and they have skill at the skill positions. Guys like Skeffington and Gaskins and Espinal, you know, a kid like Felix Cruz, who started the end of his freshman year, middle linebacker, is still there now, kind of the captain of that defense. He's a co-captain of the team. For them to go on the road and beat an Austin Prep team that, by and large, is generally a pretty good team every year. Great start for them. Now they return home for the first time this season. They have an Essex Tech team that's also going to be looking to get on track. They got shut out by Ipswich last week. So they're going to come in hungry, and Salem will have to rise to that challenge. But, boy, it's been a long time since Salem football started 2-0. I want to say about 7 years. So I know Matt Bouchard and his team are certainly looking to play four strong quarters of football on Friday and hope that they can reach that that landmark.
Did Marblehead get a wake-up call last weekend? Maybe not overlooking Trent, but maybe not expecting the kind of game that they gave them?
That's a good question, Tim. I'm not sure that's the word I'd use. I mean, it might be one that Jimmy Redloff, the coach, might use, because I think there's still an awful lot of talent on that Marblehead roster. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you're plugging in a lot of new players into starting roles. You know, quarterback, receivers, defensive line, secondary, things like that. And it's going to take time to gel. I mean, it's not just a preseason type thing where, okay, we're ready to go, September 9th, let's go. And on the flip side of that, I mean, Pat Sheehan's an excellent coach at Triton. They were a terrific team last year. Mm-hmm. They certainly want to build off of what they did. So I think maybe it was two teams feeling each other out a little bit, and Marblehead's strength and depth may have won it for them in the end, but it's a win-win for the Magicians, as far as I can see, because they came away with the win, they got the desired result they wanted, but there's also a ton that the coaches can show them in films, or I'm sure by this point have shown them in films, in that we need to do this better. This needs to be corrected. We can't be making those mistakes. We have to get better at this. And that will be drilled into them over and over and over again this week as they get ready to host Revere Friday night. So, got the win that they wanted, but lots for the coaches to point out and the players to work on. So, I think overlooked might be a strong word, but saw some of their flaws and where they really need to get better. Without question.
One last question relative to that. Have there been any coaches talk about that first game being a divisional game that has meaning to really bring the kids into focus and have that non-divisional, non-league game into the second and third week.
I could see that. I mean, I guess that's a coin that you can look at both sides of. I mean, you know, my thinking is if and I have the you know, the hindsight of being out of high school for years. But
you want to see how many Rick's been?
Ah, God, no, you don't.
Quite a few.
Okay, boy.
But I mean, you know, geez, if I'm a ball player who played last year, and you know, either you win on Thanksgiving and you're jacked up from that, or you lose and you thought, oh man, that's not going to happen again next year. You put all that time in the weight room and running and conditioning and getting yourself ready. I don't know how you're not jacked for the first game of the year, no matter who you play. I mean, you got to be ready to play. Now, you may not get the result you want, but if you're not ready to play on opening day, as a high school football player, I'm not sure you should be playing high school football.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that, there's certainly something to be said for playing a conference opponent right off the bat and getting right into it, so there's an added level of seriousness to the game that you're playing. I think where that might be difficult is not every league may be on board with that, so it might be more difficult to get non-league games in week two or especially three if other teams say, well, we want to go non-league weeks one and two, as most teams do now, and you know, we're going to start playing our league in week three. So that might be a stumbling block there.
Phil, final question for me is, pick another sport in your coverage area. Who's the fastest out of the gate that's impressed you?
Fastest out of the gate that's impressed me. Well, you know, we've had quite a few teams playing really well, and I'll go back to somebody you mentioned earlier. You know, when you said on Friday that all of Swampscott's team had won, I thought their field hockey team had a great win on Friday against a outstanding Danvers team. Danvers not too far removed from a conference championship in 2015. They're loaded up again this season in what should be a very competitive Northeastern Conference. Danvers jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and Swampscott stormed back with three straight goals, including one in like the final seconds, to win the game. So Jamie Spano and her Big Blue team, I think, have opened some eyes, at least in the conference field hockey circles, with that win. And they're going to be a team that's going to want to challenge the Marbleheads and Danverses and Beverly's for league supremacy this year.
God, Phil, we could listen to you all night long, but you know, time keeps moving. All right, what's coming up in the paper?
You are too kind. I don't know if your listeners would feel the same way.
Oh, yes, they would.
Much.
All right, what are you focusing on this week besides scores?
Well, we're delving right into the football. We get some golf and volleyball previews that we're running in tomorrow's papers, and Nick Giannino will run his first soccer column of the year this Wednesday, and then we'll lead into the football by Matt Williams and myself Thursday and Friday. So, busy time of year, but we love it, especially after the lull that is summer.
Absolutely, man. All right, we'll see you in the fields.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, Phil, thanks.
Phil Stacey, who is the Salem News sports editor, and I could listen to him all night, and he could. The two guys, I'll tell you what, right now, right here, who could wax poetic all night, besides your very self, would be Gary Larrabee and Phil Stacey.
No, I pale.
And it wouldn't
to those guys.
No, Tim. Well, here's the thing: you offer a Wikipedia of information in asking a question. That's valuable, and that brings out the best in the others, and both Phil and Gary and most of the other guys we talked to as well, but Phil and Gary in particular, they just have the a way to weave the story, not only with words on paper, but also when they talk to us. I love it. I could listen. And they had, you know, so many names at their fingertips, Coach. I can't remember who the hell
He's
I covered on Friday night.
He's got a list of paper in front of him. I'm not going to give him that much credit. No.
They are
amazing.
I've seen him at the rink since. Okay, we need to take a break. Next up, we're going to try to call and talk with Salem football coach Matt Bouchard after Phil just talked about the opening night win for the Salem Witches. So we'll be back.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, joining us now after chatting with Phil Stacey is the Salem High School football coach, Matt Bouchard. And, Coach, welcome to MSO once again, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Coach, nice win out of the gates early on, and I know that it's taken a while to get that first win in your recent history. But your fourth year with the program, kids know who you are. Tell me a little bit about the preparation for this game and how you guys feel after beating the Prep Austin Prep 27-0.
Well, it's great for the program. I think one of the big things for us going into this year, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, as a coaching staff, coach, you know, some of these guys for several years now. So they really kind of set the standard when it comes to a leadership perspective, you know, which it allows us to move much faster. It allows us to kind of develop the chemistry and the culture that we want. You know, to really kind of get a team where they need to be to win a football game, you know, you definitely, without question, need quality leadership, and we're real fortunate to have some seniors that really get it.
Tell me a little bit about your captains or your other seniors who are providing that leadership.
Yeah, well, I first start with Felix Cruz. Felix Cruz is somebody that he's a senior this year, but his freshman year going into Thanksgiving, we asked him to start at Mike linebacker for us. He performed very well as a freshman, but he really kind of, even as a freshman, really kind of got it. He understood, you know, what he needed to do to be successful, and that's really translated to him having a very, very good career on defense as a Mike linebacker for us. But also offensively, you know, he's versatile. We've used him in every position on the offensive line. But he's somebody that, you know, sets a standard for how you know, we want guys working. To give you a great example, last year he ended up hurting his thumb, needed surgery after the Saugus game. And the day after surgery, he was right on the field, and he wasn't there just standing watching. He was actually working out on the sidelines. No coach asked him to do anything. He just got right back to work. And any downtime he had, he was standing right next to a coach coaching kids up. So he's like having another coach right on the field, which you know, in high school football is hard to come by. The other gentleman is Tyler Skeffington. Skeffington is somebody that is a name in Salem that many have heard, and I've been fortunate enough to coach two Skeffingtons in Salem. And great family, the fantastic work ethic. The big thing with Tyler is that he is the kind of the face of the program when it comes to how you approach developing yourself and trying to get better every day. And he's really worked himself into a position where not only is he a leader on one side of the ball, but he's right now starting at tight end and linebacker for us. And his dedication in the off season really kind of has helped a lot of the younger guys understand the kind of commitment that's needed to really kind of drive a program from kind of where Salem's been the last few years and really taking that step to be a competitive program. And it really, it starts with that locker room talk. He's somebody that kind of is really kind of allowed to get those guys into the right mindset so we can start to build something that, you know, I think everybody in Salem wants it to be.
Coach, what's it mean to win that first game with these kids, and the kids you talked about, the kids who have been invested with you for 4 years now, after climbing the ladder, I mean, having not a lot of success at first and then seeing a little bit more, a little bit more. But then you come out of the gates and you have a really good first win. And, you know, what does that mean to you and to the team? And I know it's a long way to go, but that's got to help, I would think, in the next practice tomorrow or whenever you start put the pads on again.
Oh, without question. I think, you know, with any sport, specifically in high school athletics, you know, motivation is everything. And I think, you know, that win on Friday night was a validation of the hard work, you know, that they have put in. But I think more than that, I think that, you know, when you ask, you know, kids that are 14 to 18 years old to kind of, you know, not only work hard on the field, but do the right thing in the classroom and outside the school, and really trying to get guys to kind of get into a position where it is stuff that they don't necessarily, you know, aren't innately wanting to do, right? To really kind of do everything the right way. I think when you start having a little success, you know, a lot of those things become a lot easier. So I went on Friday night, you know, our practice sessions, you know, since then, you know, the tempo's been high, energy's been really good, which means we're a lot more productive, which is certainly going to hopefully help us this weekend.
You know, Coach, I graduated high school with Bill Maraday from Austin Prep, and he's had great success both at Dom Savio and at Austin Prep over the years. Did you deliberately schedule Austin Prep as your first game to measure your team?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, so many, many years ago, one of my first coaching jobs was actually with Mike Stellato over at St. Mary's. In the late 90s, and he was obviously at St. Mary's at the time. Austin Prep was in that conference, so you know, I've coached against him for, you know, many moons ago, and then more recently when I spent a little time at Bishop Fenwick. And every year he always fields a great team, very physical, well coached, and for us, you know, we really needed to kind of set a stage this year where we had some competitive teams right out of the gate to prepare us for league play. So without question, great opponent, and I think it really kind of helped us really gauge where our team was.
What'd you like on the films today, Matt, or over the weekend that maybe you didn't see during the game? What impressed you and said, okay, I like this?
Yeah, one kid I'd like to highlight is Joe Diaz. So Joe Diaz, he actually played the strong side defensive end position for us, and for going up against a team like Austin Prep that are really kind of trying to control kind of off tackle. If you can't control off tackle, you know, from a defensive perspective against them, you know, it's going to be a long day. And he really performed extremely well from a grading perspective. He graded out what we would call champion, someone that's graded out over an 85%. So, you know, over 85% of the time, he did not only his job, but he kind of went above and beyond the call of duty. And, you know, he did an outstanding job. So really evaluating the film, he's somebody that was a very, very big component in our success on Friday night.
All right, you got Essex Tech at home this weekend, is that correct?
Correct, yep.
All right, and what do you see from them?
So they actually, what I've seen so far, I think one of the things that has impressed me is that they're able to move the ball. You know, they're very physical up front. So, again, a gentleman like Joe Diaz and some of other D linemen are really going to have to set up to really control the line of scrimmage. You know, they've been able to move the ball last week. Again, Ipswich, they moved the ball. They had some trouble in the red zone, but, you know, you can see the parts there. And, again, week one, sometimes I know all too well not all the pieces are working all together, but you can see the potential there. So we really need to make sure that, you know, up front we really control the line of scrimmage. And then defensively, you know, they move pretty fast. You know, they're downhill, they're very physical. So for us, you know, we're really going to have to make sure that we're really distributing the ball. We're really kind of getting a lot of our guys' touches. And going into this year, we're really fortunate that we have some guys that have, you know, potentially close to 20 games of varsity experience when it comes to running the football. So, and also catching the football. So, I think, you know, it's a great matchup. It's obviously a regional, you know, game where hopefully we get a lot of people coming out for a Friday night game at Bertrand.
Absolutely. You're going to get the support, and you're heading into the crazy season of Halloween. What a great start, Matt. We're really happy for you, and congratulations. We'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Coach. Matt Bouchard, who is the Salem High School football coach, and they opened up with a 27-0 win over Austin Prep on Friday night. Next game, of course, Essex Tech. On this Friday night, that'll be a home game. We come back, we're going to check in with Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
All right, we're going live here, as they say, coming back on North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer tonight, Bill Proposky. And now we're going to be chatting with the Danvers High School football coach, Ryan Nolan. And Coach Nolan, congratulations on your first varsity win, a good, solid, all-around win against a really gritty Winthrop team.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm really impressed with our kids. They played hard. They showed a lot of character in class, and you know, just getting out of the game one with the W versus a great program like Winthrop, we're really happy.
You know, there's so many things to talk about in the win. You played so well on both sides of the ball. But tell me what you saw as your leadership and how that game progressed for you. Because, you know, Winthrop moved the ball quite a bit. They just couldn't get close to the, you know, once they got close to the 50, you guys stopped them pretty much.
Well, I think both sides of the ball, Zach Dillon, actually in special teams too, Zach Dillon had an unbelievable game. He's really a rock for us. He's a quiet leader. Defensively, he makes all the calls. Offensively, ran behind him on the right side all night long, and then he hit that 51-yard field goal, and then he had a punt inside the 3-yard line. So he really, every phase of the game, really excelled. And really where he meant the most was his senior leadership and you know, he really helped rally the younger kids together, and I was very impressed with him.
Your offense looked pretty efficient. If one thing didn't work, you tried something else out, and that went well. And who do you give credit to? Is it the line, your quarterback, your running back, Sua? Who's responsible for pulling that off? Because it certainly worked.
I think it's a team effort. I really do. It's a cliche as it sounds. Coach Rich put together a great offensive game plan. We had some success running power and going off tackle. And, you know, at the same point, we had unselfish kids. I know Justin Mullaney's worked incredibly hard, and he could throw the ball. And we just didn't need him to throw the ball as much as we may in other games. And he was a consummate team player and just worked hard, distributed the ball. And then as far as the skill positions, and the line did great, and a bunch of kids stepped up. We had a lot of newcomers. We were very happy that we played, you know, 7, 8, 9 kids deep on the lines, and they did very well. And then it was kind of a three-headed, you know, rushing attack between Taj Coakley, Matt McCarthy, and Colby Holland, all who did very well. And then the Canova kid, only a sophomore, came in and playing the ball with Kelta very well at the end of the game too. So very impressed with the overall effort of the kids and the focus and the physicality. So, you know, it was a total team effort.
How is Taj Coakley doing?
He's doing well. He took a knee to the stomach, and I think he was a little shocked between getting the wind knocked out of him, and he had a little bit of pain, but it felt better as the day went on. He wanted to go back in the game late in the game, but he was out. The next morning, he felt better, and at practice today, he was fine. He practiced with everyone else. No symptoms, no issues. So he's a tough kid, and he's fine.
Good. Coach Ingram was saying that it's such a luxury to be able to get some of your other players into a game when you have a lead, or for that matter, when you're way behind. But it carries over into practice. He always thought that was so important, because the kids know, you know, that they get a chance to, and you had a big crowd there, a huge crowd on Friday night.
Oh, it was nice, yeah.
So how important is that to you to get those younger kids in? I mean, it takes away some playing time from your seniors who work so hard to get there, but I'm sure they understand.
Well, one thing with younger kids, and especially our second group of kids, we didn't have a JV game. So we told them when they went in, you know, you're on film, we're going to be watching you, and we want to see good things. We saw great things. And a lot of these kids were challenging for positions and still are. So that's one of the reasons I think we were successful. We're competitive in practice. We got kids that want to go out and start and want to go out and play, and they push each other to get better. And to go out and watch those kids play the way they did, especially the young DBs, a couple of the linebackers, and D-line too, and to watch the kids run the ball, and, you know, it wasn't a surprise to us. We've seen them do it in practice. They're tough kids. They worked hard throughout the spring and into the summer. And, you know, that's an opportunity for them to go out, and it creates even more competition when we go into practice this week, because we have a bunch of kids vying for starting positions and playing time.
And you have to prepare for a huge game this week. Peabody, you know they're going to be a little upset, a little angry after losing their opener.
Well, I mean, you know, anyone around this area knows the history of Peabody football and how good they've been. We've seen it firsthand the last 4 years. And, you know, I'm sure they're not happy with the way the first game went. And I know Coach Benincourt is going to have them up. And they're always a physical team. They're always tough kids. They got great tradition. They've got very good coaching. And we've really talked to our kids about the challenge of going there and playing them. And we have to be as physical as possible. You got to limit our mistakes. And we got to come out there and be ready to be competitive and to be enthusiastic and to fly around the field from the very first snap. You know, we know we're going to have to play four quarters of real solid football to hang around with them.
All right, Coach, I appreciate it. Anything else you want to mention?
No, just thank you very much for all the coverage you guys do. You know, and thank you. It was a great day out there at Mr. Moore Stadium. I mean, that crowd, like you said, was huge. So
it was.
All the support we've gotten from the school and the fans and everyone has just been great, and I just want to say thank you to them.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, man. That was so much fun. It was like a Thanksgiving Day game. It was super. Hey, Ryan, best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you later. We got plenty more games to cover.
All right, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Take care, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
That is Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan. Brand new, first varsity game as head coach, and gets his first win over Winthrop. And I do want to mention, Tim, that Winthrop is the usual Winthrop. They're tough. They're 11. They're 11 are tough. But they got kids on the sideline. They don't have a lot of numbers. And they got kids on the sidelines who can't go in when you're down by a big score, because even like Ryan was saying, Ryan's second team, you know, they're big guys. They're strong guys. The second team for Winthrop, they're freshmen. And we looked at the numbers. They weigh 120 pounds, 125 pounds.
Yeah, Bill.
And these alignment.
Yeah, when Bill and I were over there last week talking to...
And they're Division VI.
Talking to Sean, you know, he's got a good number of freshmen, 18 freshmen, but they're all going to be playing sub-varsity, they're going to be playing JV, and all of his junior seniors are going to be varsity, and there'll be some sophomores playing JV, but again, with his numbers, he's had to forego a development team, and so you're right, you know, all those young kids are going to learn by doing a lot of watching this year, but again, 3 years down the road, you know, Coach Driscoll is going to have kids of experience who've seen the good side and the bad side. And again, as Coach Bouchard has seen at Salem, you know, it's bumpy road sometimes when you don't have the numbers, you don't have the overall talent, and then then you get to that year four when those kids have been with you and been developing. All of a sudden, you've got a good, solid core of seniors, and things can really take off for you.
I also think once they get into a Division VI schedule, they'll probably get a chance to get some playing time.
I think so, too.
I think so, on the other side of the win situation. All right, we'll be right back. Going to check in with Gary Larrabee in just a minute.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
All right, here we
go. Midnight times and the bewitching hour is over.
We're back with Gary Larrabee, and Gary, I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I'm dumbfounded, but certainly best wishes. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thanks. More important, we have a lot of golf to talk about.
Okay.
A lot more golf still to enjoy, so I can start whenever you're ready.
Well, I was just wondering. I just asked him if there were any golf this weekend, and he we're deferring to you, so dive in.
Well, first of all, we should make note of one of our most popular, most successful, and most beloved golf professionals in the region. Bob Green has been at Tedesco for 39 years as the head professional. I think 7 years before that as the assistant to the late, great Les Dunn. And Bob is being honored by the Francis We Met Scholarship Fund with the inaugural Francis We Met Scholarship Fund New England Professional of the Year Award, which he'll receive October 2nd during the annual Francis We Met Scholarship Fund Annual Pro-Am at Wellesley Country Club. A very prestigious honor for Bob, and we're very happy for it.
Congratulations on that.
Bob has just been the quintessential club professional, but he's also spent an awful lot of time and has been totally committed and devoted in support of the Francis We Met Scholarship Fund, and 140 of Bob's youthful teenage workers over the years, either as caddies, members of the golf shop, bag room, or wherever, maybe worked on the grounds crew, have received Francis We Met scholarships over the years, and Bob's been a huge booster of the organization and of promoting the game through youthful participation. So yeah. A wonderful award for Bob. We're very happy for him.
Yeah, it's great, Gary. And I'm sorry, Till, but I'm glad you keep mentioning that because you have several times you talk about people who contribute to the community and to the kids and to even the disabled through the game of golf that we otherwise wouldn't know about. So thanks for bringing that up.
Right. No, thank you. And, of course, we also should talk about for a moment Charlie Brophy from Beverly, Beverly born, Beverly bred. And now back in Beverly, as he continues an extraordinary life as a broker, as an investment broker. Charlie's the new chairman of the Commodore Open, Mike Frango's Memorial Tournament that's coming up next Monday at Myopia. It's sold out, so we don't have to worry about raising all the money they like to raise every year, usually to the tune of $100,000. But Charlie involved one of the major executives at HUD International, is now taken over from Mark Thompson of Boston Private Bank and Trust as the chairman, and his company is also a lead sponsor of the event. So we certainly congratulate Charlie Brophy, and we know it'll be a very successful tournament, the 48th annual next Monday at Myopia. But we have to thank people like Charlie Brophy for making it so, and they have a good man at the lead spot now, and a great company supporting them. And they've raised over $2.5 million in the first 47 years, and Charlie wants to make another $2.5 million for the Northeast Arc, which is a benefiting charity.
There you go.
Before he steps aside.
There you go. Another one. Thanks. Thanks, Gary.
And that was a great article you had on your piece in the news last week, Gary.
Well, just happy to promote people who are doing good deeds in golf, and Charlie is and his company is one of the latest.
Tremendous. Well, is there anything going on competition-wise in the area or otherwise you want to mention?
Well, I think we can certainly think about the New England Seniors Championship is taking place. I should say the State Senior Championship is taking place the next couple of days. I forget where, guys, but one of our senior players, 55 and over, will be competing. I'm trying to think where they're playing. I'm losing my track of thought, guys, but I wish our locals best in that over the next couple of days. And interesting, guys, something just came out in the new issue of Golf Magazine, the top 100 courses, both in America and in the world. And lo and behold, two of our local clubs, it should be three, but two of our local clubs are in the top 100.
Mm.
And those are Myopia Hunt Club,
mm-hmm.
Which is number 63 on this list of the wow. 100 top 100 golf courses in America. And their sister club, Essex County Club, is not far beyond them. I'm trying to think where they are. Number 82. But as I have noted in the past, the one club that's not on that list, which should certainly be on the list, is Salem Country Club, but they are not, and we have to try, I think, these talk about or convince these voters to get Salem back on that top 100 list. They still deserve to be there, quite frankly, more so than the other two great courses in our area mm-hmm. that we're talking about tonight, Essex and Myopia. But congratulations to Essex and Myopia, and we're very happy for them. On a somber note, guys, if I might jump in with this, fellow who's been running Candlewood Golf Course in Ipswich for the last 55 years just passed away last week. Dave Whipple, 81, whose father built the course in 1932, ran the place until 64. Then Dave took over, and you guys may remember Dave as a very successful high school basketball coach at Ipswich High School.
Yes.
When they won the state championship, small school Class D, back in 1969. In the old garden. So Dave was quite a talent both with his golf course and with his basketball coaching.
Amazing.
Gary, going back to the to Myopia and Essex, what distinguishes them as superior golf courses?
Well, I think it's partly because you walk onto either of those properties and they take you back in time to a different time. You feel as if you're back in, it feels like you're back in the early 1900s or late 1800s. This is a particularly if you follow golf, follow the history of golf and the nature of great old golf courses. Myopia, which was opened in 1894, and Essex, which was opened in 1893, certainly filled the bill, but they both have extraordinary championship qualities, but more so just wonderful old traits that make it a classic, make them classic golf courses. They look like you are back in the late 1800s, and they sure play that way as well in a very positive fashion. And apparently the voters on this golf magazine, Top 100, list they put out every other year, like the antiqueness, the antiquity of these two clubs. Hmm. I look at, you know, Salem as a superior club in all different ways from 1925, and a great championship course now almost 100 years later, which doesn't necessarily apply to Myopia or Essex, but three fabulous golf courses, including a place like another Donald Ross course, which Essex is, which Salem is, which we currently opened in 1914. So as we've talked about in the past, we have great old golf courses around here, some beautiful new golf courses, and all wonderful stuff in between as well.
Where does Augusta National fit in all of this? Are they on the list somewhere?
Well, of course. Pine Valley, which has been number one down in New Jersey, continues to be number one. Cypress Point out in California is number two, and is good old Augusta at number three.
Oh, my.
Those three courses are absolutely the gold standard in America. Three very different golf courses, but three magnificent pieces of property. And we're so blessed to have such great golf courses, not just in America, but right here in our own backyard.
Exactly. All right, Gary, have you figured out what's in the column this weekend?
I'm going to let you wait, guys, but I had some interesting things to share. But, of course, we're also looking at the the third week of the four-week FedEx Cup Series, and you know, the newcomer, the big name right now is Justin Thomas, who won the PGA Championship and won the tournament at TPC Boston over Labor Day weekend. The Dell Technologies Championship, and two more weeks to go there, and we're going to wait and see who emerges. But it looks like Justin Thomas is clearly ahead in the Player of the Year battle with 2 weeks to go. He's the first one now, won five tournaments this year, Tim.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and he's been rather under the radar about it, Gary, too. I think all except for the people that pay real strict attention to golf news.
Indeed. And, it looks like he's going to win this thing, Thomas is. But, if someone should win these next 2 weeks, he's been a pretty good player this year and has won a major. They could overcome Thomas and win that nice little fat $10 million first place check for winning the FedEx Cup playoffs. And, of course, there'll be a $1.7 million prize in each of the next two tournaments, this weekend in Chicago, the following weekend in Atlanta. So lots to look forward to, and we still have a very strong golf season to continue, I think, right through, we hope, the end of October.
I'm looking forward to it. Gary, thank you so much. Have a great night. Have a great week.
Have fun, guys. Be well.
Take care, Gary. Gary Larrabee, sports writer, golf writer, I should say.
And birthday boy.
And birthday boy, yes. Gary and I had different birthdays together. Let's see. We need to take... You okay?
You had the same birthday.
I don't think I like
you
your...
You had different birthdays together.
I don't think I like your altitude. All right, we need to take a break, and we'll come back with Nick Kukru, and we'll end this thing with Mike D'Agostino. It's not Mike D'Agostino. We do have a report from Mike D'Agostino, but then we'll talk with Jeff Hutton, the Manchester Essex football coach. And why don't we go to Mike D'Agostino's report right now? As St. Mary's of Lynn boys soccer continues to win, here's Mike.
Hi, Coach Mike D'Agostino, St. Mary's boys soccer, calling in scores. St. Mary's played Malden Catholic today. It was St. Mary's 1, Malden Catholic 0. Nick Pappas from PD recorded his first shutout of the season. The goal was scored by Nahant native Matt Conley, assisted by PD native Chavez de Oliveira. St. Mary's is now 3-0. Our next game is Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at Bishop Fenwick. Thank you.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back now with Nick Kukuru, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Nick.
Doing well, doing well. And I guess first impressions would have to be associated with Gloucester High School football. Tell us about it.
Sounds good. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought my assessment was pretty similar to Coach Zarilli's on Friday night. I thought they looked excellent on defense. I thought they were still kind of getting their feet under them, trying to find a little bit of an identity offensively. They got a little stagnant after they took a 7-0 lead. But I mean, you know, they were dominant on defense. Four yards in the first half. I think the first team allowed 13 yards of offense the whole game. Revere didn't have any room to really do anything.
Well, Coach Cirilli said that, I know, last week. He thought that the defense would be ahead of the offense, and he thought that, in his words, he had not a lot of depth, not a lot of extra players there, of course, but he had some pretty seasoned and tough kids, according to him. And you know, Revere's always a tough start, so I'm guessing it was probably a pretty hard hitting game as well.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a physical game, and it's true. I mean, they lost a lot of guys from last year. That they had to replace 8 offensive starters. I think only 5 or 6 defensive starters. So they're having half that defense back, and they're all, you know, good. They were all good players coming back this season. You could kind of tell that defense was probably going to be one of the strengths of the team. Not that I don't think the offense will be a strength. I just think, you know, when you got 8 first year starters working into the system, it's going to take a couple weeks to kind of get, you know, find your niche.
Where's Ollie Emerson playing, Nick?
He was playing tight end, outside linebacker. He was, you know, he was his usual self. I don't think anyone got around him on the edge on defense. He caught one pass. They didn't throw much, so he caught one pass on offense. But he was his usual self. I think all the guys that we expected to look good, that we knew, you know, could play, all looked really well on Saturday. You know, Tony Petrilli was a force on defense. I thought Carlos Hernandez had a great game at defensive end. And you know, it was just that front seven, the secondary, didn't have to do much because you know, they were right in the backfield, you know, pretty quickly. And I think the couple passes they did complete only went for 1 yard.
Well, that's got to bode well, because I think Coach Cirilli was talking about his defensive backs were the veterans, and so that's probably a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. They'll get tested this week against Beverly, because from what I saw, Beverly just winged the ball around the field on Saturday against Lynn English. So they got the Smith brothers back at both safety positions. You know, they were both good last year there. And Brandon Rivera moves into the starting corner spot, and Daylon Locke, a sophomore. So that'll be the secondary. They got some height in that secondary, which is kind of a rare thing to see.
Yeah, Locke, as a freshman last year, really impressed Coach LaFader as a freshman baseball player, and envisions him as a major force in the outfield the next couple of years.
Yeah, and when he played, he you know, he contributed. He wasn't just kind of in there as a stand-in, you know, just to eat a few innings. He went in and he contributed. He got some big hits for him, made some big plays in the outfield. So I think that's a name we're going to be hearing a lot of this year and the next couple of years in multiple seasons.
Yeah, I agree.
What are we looking at Gloucester field hockey, Nick, because they had such a great year last year. What's up this year?
Yeah, well, they won 6-1 over Saugus on Friday to open the season. Peabody comes to town tomorrow, so that'll be a big one. Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you lose. I mean, in my opinion, you know, I haven't covered the team for the last 10 years. I think Rachel Alexander and Sam Cominelli are the two best players to come through the program during that time. So, I mean, it's obviously tough to graduate those two who have just, you know, been, you know, all-conference performers for multiple seasons. But they do have Marissa Enos back. And, I mean, she's almost as good, if not as good, as both of those two players. And she's moving to the boot field this year. So she's going to be much more involved in the ebb and flow up and down the field. And I know I talked to Coach Riley last week. She seems to really like her forward line. She's young, but they have a lot of talent. And she mentioned freshman Nia Sala as kind of a breakout player to watch this season for them. Apparently she's looked really good on the front line. And, you know, Kate Delaney's back there too as a sophomore. So they could have some young players up in their offense, but they seem to have talent.
Well, I got to ask you about this, and this will be my last question, Nick. We're running late tonight, but Coach Riley Gove, Coach, last year she has, I think she's 9 months pregnant. She's out there coaching. She has the baby. She brings the baby to the game the next day and resumes coaching. It's like it's incredible. Then I go over to Manchester Essex, and lo and behold, the same thing's going on over there.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. It's pretty good. It's good to see the dedication, though, from all of them. I mean, I wasn't surprised in the slightest to see Lauren back out there within a week after having the baby. That was not a surprise in development to me. I mean, she does such a good job with that team. She takes it so seriously, and you know, I knew it was probably killing her to miss a practice.
Okay, Nick, we got to go. We'll catch you earlier next time so we can spread it around a little bit more. But what's coming up in the paper this week?
Sounds good. I was at Gloucester Boys Soccer tonight. So they pounded on Saugus 5-1. It was 5-0 at the half. And then, you know, we'll be at field hockey tomorrow night. We'll finally have a girls soccer in the paper this week. That's been a little overdue, actually a lot overdue. And we'll also have a couple other feature stories as well that I'm looking to nail down.
That's great. Look forward to it. Nick, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. That's Nick Kukru, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to roll it out.
He's a former student.
Oh yes.
Lauren's a former student.
Oh yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
I had Rachel, Sam.
Yep.
And they are two of the quietest people in class.
Yep.
And then you put them on the field, put that mouthpiece in, give them a stick, and watch out.
Yep. Absolutely. They're terrific athletes and terrific kids.
Yeah.
And we wish them well in college as well. What we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up here, and then I'm going to play the interview with Jeff Hutton, the Manchester Essex football coach, and I'll post that probably separately later on as well. So we'll close it out. We're going to say goodnight here. But first, Coach, any final thoughts cleaning out the attic there in anything?
Well, looking for a rebound from the Pats on this coming Sunday. A lot of people... As usual, Brady has an off game. Everybody wants Garoppolo, but Brady's not going anywhere. And the winning will come back because there's nobody better than figuring out a bad game than Belichick. You know, there's a lot of new people there. Nobody expected the quality of the game that we saw the last week. So I don't think we'll see that again. Just remember what happened the last time Kansas City laid a beating on us. We sort of ended up someplace called Super Bowl. So is it going to happen again? Well, stranger things have happened, and Pats being in the Super Bowl is not so strange. Red Sox, dropped onto the Tampa Bay I feel bad for Pacello. He's had just the flip season from last year. He just can't seem to get out of the early innings without giving up runs. He's not losing big. He's not losing really ugly. He's just losing.
Mm-hmm.
17th loss this year for him, and that's just incredible. And I think this is one of the biggest reversals of fortune for a Cy Young Award winner in Major League history. I know there's a couple of guys who have had really bad seasons, but this is one that's just been atrocious for him. But I give him credit. He goes out there and he competes as hard as he can. And every now and then he spins a gem and it makes you wonder, geez, why isn't that coming at least every other game? It's going to be a dogfight for the divisional title all the way down. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens then.
Are you worried about Chris Sale at all?
I think he may need a start off because he was leaving the ball. The balls that were leaving the ballpark were curveballs that were flat, fastballs that he was sitting right in the hammer zone. You know, and that's not the way that he generally pitches. He pitches the corner. He pitches the knees. He pitches that breaking ball that comes to right-handers, comes in and down to your back ankle. That it just looks so good coming in, and by the time you get a swing going, it's nearly taking your toenails off.
You know, I was just thinking, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but you know, they start in February, and they go right through October, and that's a what, 6, 7, 8 month span. Let me see. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Well, it could be in 9 months.
I want you to know, folks, he's counting them on his fingers.
That's right. Well, I can't add. I calculus is fine, but I can't. So
then you should have gone A, B, C.
But that's a 9 month period, and most people in just desk jobs get a week off in between somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, he could probably know. Farrell has given days off to Devers and to several other players. Bogarts he gave time off to, you know, 3-4 games just to let them recharge, refocus, and they come back, and also, you know, they come back hitting the crap out of the ball. You know, maybe he just needs to skip a start, throw easy on the side, work on a couple mechanical things. I mean, he's not bad off. Mm-hmm. You know, the other night he was blowing them away when they took him out in the sixth inning. I would like to have seen him go until he got 10 strikeouts just to
that
list, because when I heard he was taken out, I wanted to know how many. He had 8. You know, but you know, Farrell does strange things. So, but he's also thinking, and he did have a high pitch count. He just said, okay, let's get him rest, and that's a good thing, because he is gonna need him down the stretch.
All right, Friday night you are in Peabody with Marty Smith, Danvers at Peabody High School football radio game. The video game will be Beverly at Gloucester Friday night at 7 p.m. Bill Newell and Paul Ingram will bring you that one, and then there will be yet another game on Saturday. That will be Triton at Swampscott, a radio game. That's a noontime game. Be here. Aloha.
And who's it? Who's doing that one? Is that Bill and John?
I have no idea. Yeah, let's say yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go. All right. That's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore, producer and engineer Bill Proposky. Stay tuned for an interview with the Manchester Essex football coach, Jeff Hutton. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. Now I'm over at Manchester Essex High School, talking with their head coach, Jeff Hutton. And coach, off to a great start. We'll talk about that in a minute. But a little bit of a wrap-up. I didn't get to talk to you at the end of last season. The kids, you graduated off to college and off to the workforce. How do you look back on last year?
I think it was more of a roller coaster ride last year. You know, we started off 2-0, but we had some key injuries to two two-way senior starters. And it kind of derailed us a little bit. We had to, like, move some people around. And when you have a small roster, it's a big domino effect. So if you move one kid here, now you're deficient someplace else. And it's like, where can we be less deficient just to field a team? And we ended up going 0 for the league. We lost 4 games in the league. And then we ended up missing out in the playoffs going 2-5. But we did end up winning all 3 of our consolation games, including a win over a team that actually made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then we lost our running back going into Thanksgiving. He had a high ankle sprain, and then I just wasn't ready to play. I wasn't healthy enough. He tried. He was a trooper. But we ended up taking it on the chin last Thanksgiving, 35-0 to Georgetown. But despite what we went through to finish 5-6, and the kids easily could have gave up at 2-5, but to bounce back and win those 3, to have a chance at a winning record is a tribute to the makeup of that senior group we had last year.
That's cool, and I know that a lot of times the Thanksgiving Day game is a springboard. If you've had a mediocre to a lousy season, you win on Thanksgiving, it's a springboard into the next season. I'm guessing the opposite doesn't take place. You just forget about it, start new.
Oh, of course not. I mean, none of us, that's been our driving force all off season. And we had a big, I think we only graduated 6 kids last year. So most of the kids that played in that game were juniors and sophomores. And I think we had, I've only been here 3 years, but in my 3 years, this winter was our best turnout for workouts. And then
so
those,
long memory. Okay.
Oh yeah, okay. So those kids turned that, that driving force of that bittersweet taste in their mouth, of that anger, and had a great baseball season. Like most of my football guys started on that baseball team that lost in the North Finals. So those kids have had like a tough football year, and then they came so close in baseball. Now this is their senior group, their senior year. They're all back together. It's their last go around, and we had a great summer, and then we had a great preseason, and we came out and played really well on Saturday.
Yeah, well, apparently had a pretty good game from Robbie Sarmanian, he's quoted by Nick Kukuru in the Times as praising his line. But why don't you start with Robbie and praise his performance?
Yeah, I mean, Robbie's our go-to guy. I mean, we had a couple roster changes in the preseason, and he was typically our running back, our wing back last year. We run the wing T, so we have a 3-base running backs. And I came to him, I was like, look, I want to move you to tailback, which is right behind our quarterback. It's almost like a fullback, really. Mm-hmm. And looks like I made a really good decision, huh, by putting him there instead of where he was. So, but again, he whatever he can do for the team to win, he's a self-motivated kid. you know, you don't have to get him fired up. He's ready to play, and that you can win a lot of football games and a lot of anything with kids like that.
You don't have the luxury of having a lot of kids that you can move around, so sometimes a kid might be slotted into a position that in another school someone else might be. So I get that. But your line had to have done a good job. So tell me a little bit about those guys up front.
Yeah, well, it's really been the same group of guys for the last 3 years. We've had, you know, Andrew Hanzopoulos is one of our captains, a two-year captain. He's been a tackle for the last 2 years, and we moved him to guard. Our another captain, Jackson Rice, he was playing guard. So he started guard as a sophomore. So, again, we've got two or three guys that have been playing and starting on the offensive line for 3 years. Our other captain, Charlie McDowell, you know, he's a senior. It's his third year starting at tackle. He was the center last year, so we moved him to tackle. I think the only kid other than Jackson that was at the same spot last year was Noah Rawson, who's only a junior. So, and he's been a two-way starter since he was a freshman, too. So we've got a lot of experience on that line, and it shows. Like we can, we think we had eight drives in the game. We scored on seven of them. So we can, you know, I think we can stand toe to toe. We just got to make one or two more stops than we did on Saturday. And you know, the funny thing is, we'll talk in a second, but that game never felt like we really had any control. It just kept going back and forth. But I'm glad that we had one extra possession and we had a turnover, so it worked out for us.
Well, as a coach, Bear Bryant used to say, didn't lose a lot of games, but I ran out of time a few times. So, yeah, okay. So have you looked at the, you've obviously looked at the movies. You looked at the tape. So what stood out from you in that game? Maybe that you, I don't know if a coach sees everything during a game. Did you find something, you know, good or bad or indifferent?
I think that, and we've been preaching how we were the worst team defensively in the league. Like we gave up the most points in the league last year. And we scored one of the higher number of points. I think we ended up second or third in the league last year. So we were right there. But that was a key thing we wanted to focus on is being better on defense. And I think physically and the aggressiveness we want was there. But I also felt we were too aggressive at times, like just basic fundamentals, especially, you know, some of the secondary guys were trying to dive in and make a stop on the run. And next thing you know, they got a guy running by him on a deep pass. You know, you could fix that. You'd rather them be too aggressive than too timid. So some of the X's and O things we'll fix this week. But, you know, we're glad that they want to throw their nose in there. So we'd rather that problem than the other.
One of the things Coach Ingram taught me was you'd see a lot of times the kids would go after a quarterback over-aggressively and scoot by them, especially linemen. And I don't know whether you call that contain or wait, but he said you just have to sort of box them in rather than go after them aggressively. So I get that. What about discipline in terms of penalties? Any problem with that?
We just had one penalty in the game, right? Two. We had one penalty at the end where our quarterback was a little impatient with letting our guys get set up before he took the snap, so we got an illegal shift. But other than that, we didn't have, knock on wood, there were no holding, no offsides. You know, we didn't jump offsides on defense. So really, really pleased with that aspect because, you know, that stuff will kill you in a game, especially in a close game like that where it's a one or two possession game. You can't give teams, you know, extra yards.
You have a unique problem, I think, that small schools have that the other schools don't in terms of the number of personnel. But how do you... Is it possible to give some kids a rest sometimes? And if not, how do you hide them?
Well, we try as best we can. I think we do a really good job of getting our young kids ready to play. And, you know, so we don't have a freshman team. They're practicing with the varsity kids. So they have to learn to practice at that speed, you know, which is way different. I remember I spent my first 3 years coaching freshman football in Beverly. And it's a very different pace. But these kids don't have that luxury. They have to keep up with the varsity kids. And our upperclassmen have done a really good job this year of bringing them along and helping them out. And they're coaching them up whenever I'm doing something else or another coach is talking. They're helping out the young kids. So they're physically ready, most of them, okay, to handle some of the, you know, the kickoff and punt. And we try our best to throw. And we have, you know, Coach Pat Orlando who actually played here. And he said when I was a freshman, Coach just threw me in there, so let's see what you got. And he said, that's what we have to do here. He said, that's what we did when I played here, and the numbers aren't that different than when he was here. Mm-hmm. So you sink or swim, I guess, with what you got.
Well, so far you guys are you're riding the wave. That's excellent. Now, what about your other coaches?
We got a great coaching staff. We were able to keep three, you know, myself and two other coaches for the last 3 years, so that's good to have some continuity. We lost my defensive coordinator, Coach Anthony Nardella. He was an assistant lacrosse coach at St. Anselm's for the last 3 years with his friend from high school, Mike Shimana, and he finally convinced Anthony to come on full-time, so he reluctantly left. But that's definitely a big career move for him. He played college lacrosse. He wants to coach at that level. So for him, it was a no-brainer, like at the coach of my friend at the collegiate level. So we lost him. And then we actually lost Coach B.J. Weed, who's also the baseball coach here. He had, you know, family commitments. He couldn't make the time. He's really involved in, you know, baseball here and AAU and things of that nature. So, you know, it was tough to lose a guy that's in the building and a good coach that the kids respect, and he's very successful. But, you know, he helps out as much as he can in the building with the kids. And you know, if I ever needed something, he could get the weight room going. He's offered that and extended it.
Excellent.
And we picked up a couple of new coaches. One of our a guy named Nick Murray, he actually played at Peabody High School, played lacrosse at Mount Ida. It's his first year coaching football, but he's really great with the kids. Like, you can tell, guys, or you could coach or they can't. He's got it. Like, the kids love him. He coaches our receivers, and he helps out with the defensive line. You know, he's really been like a gem, like a diamond in the rough that we found. And we have a couple of great guys that are volunteering this year. A guy named Joe Grimes actually played at Ipswich High School under Coach Welch. So when I was talking to him through a mutual friend, you know, he's like, I don't know football, X's and O's. I haven't played football in so long. I says, well, we run the wing T. And he started laughing, and he's like, I didn't know high school still ran that. I thought that when Coach Welch retired, they stopped doing it. So I just mentioned a few plays. He's like, oh, that's Buck Sweep. Well, that's Trap. I was like, you're going to fit in just right here. And we got another coach named Cam Savoy, who came from Western Mass. He had coached a couple of years out at Holyoke, and he moved to Salem with his wife and sent me an email, and it worked out great.
All right. Well, Coach, Nantucket this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think our, you know, we're really looking forward to it as a team. It's going to be a great challenge. They were 9-3 last year. They had an all-scholastic last year. They got a couple big offensive and defensive linemen. They got some explosive backs. You know, same thing. They got the same problems we do. You look on the sideline, there's like 35, 36 kids, and same guys are playing everywhere. So we're looking forward to that. And, you know, our parents were actually going down a couple days ahead of time. It's an old rivalry rekindled.
Right.
So they have T-shirts made for it. They've got blocks of hotels. They got breakfasts planned and dinners. And, you know, I think, you know, we got to remind them there is a football game down there next Saturday, too. So.
All right. Good luck, Coach.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton.